And again, it's a privilege to be here this morning as we hear the Word of God. And actually, this is, this is my first time to stand here in the pulpit and to minister to you. And it's really a privilege that I will be bringing this message, that the same message that we are bringing in Thailand for the Buddhist people, so that they will know that about the resurrection Lord and King of ours, who is the true and living God. And in this time of ours, there are many inventions, as we know, in history that changes the course of human history. And one of them is the printing press. But here in our time, it is the artificial intelligence, and probably many of you already know about ChatGPT, and that is we should see it as another course of invention that would change the course of the new generation since the 1990s coming of the internet. And these are called historical because it is disruptive in the normal life of people. It means that these inventions disrupts the way of life of people. And there is one thing that is normal in human life from the very beginning, which is not the original part of the human life, but it became the normal thing of the human life, and it is called death. Since the beginning of in Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve has sinned against God, death has always the last say, not until someone rose from the grave. And it is so disruptive that every people, every person who are born are headed to the grave, that we must consider that someone 2,000 years ago, there was one man who died on the cross, was buried literally, and rose again on the third day, literally, on history. And this is what we are going to read on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 11, which Apostle Paul is saying here to the church in Corinth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 11, and let me read the Word of God. Now I would remind you, brothers, for the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I work harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me, whether then it is I or they. So we preach, so you believe. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank you for morning that you have given to us, that we can listen to your word. Give us humility, open our hearts and our minds, so that we may understand the truths that are inscripturated in this text that you have revealed to us through Apostle Paul. All these things we ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. And so we hear The context of this is Apostle Paul sent a letter to the church in Corinth, and he was addressing one by one the errors and the misbehaviors and the inconsistency of the Corinthian believers. And he has been correcting the Corinthian believers with the issues, and one of them is the issue of the resurrection, because there are people who said that the resurrection is not true. Maybe some of them are thinking that how can we find it true? There is no evidence and we cannot see, and we want to see something before we believe. But Paul would tell them the first importance. He would say here in the first 1 and 2, he said that the first importance that I delivered to you is the gospel. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross in accordance to the scripture. It is very important. And he was buried and he was raised again on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. And this, he's saying, you have to reconsider this. Reconsider the resurrection with all the evidences of the personal witnesses of the that has seen of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul mentions Cephas, the 12, the 500 at once, and he himself. There's a lot of personal witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul would say, we preach the resurrection. And we preach the death and the burial of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the emphasis of Apostle Paul here is not mainly on the witnesses. But he said, in accordance to the scriptures, in accordance to the scriptures. And he would say at the last, at the verse 11, he said, we preach. And this is the message that we have this morning. Apostle Paul's emphasis here is that the certainty of the resurrection of Christ is the part of the apostles' preaching. There are many proofs of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Apostle Paul would say, the best evidence is that it is a part of the Word of God. Paul is saying that the Old Testament, Scripture, and their preaching of the resurrection is the primary evidence of the certainty of the resurrection. Remember Peter in his book, in his letter, when he said that he saw the transfigured Christ in that Mount of Transfiguration, and he said that we have the more sure word. It means that the Word of God is more sure evidence of what the truth is. Remember in the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, when about the Lazarus and the rich man, and the response of the request of the to the request of the rich man, when the rich man said, can you bring Lazarus back from the dead and bring him so that he can go to my five brothers and tell them about this terrible hell? And Father Abraham would tell him, they have the word of Moses, they have the law of Moses, and it is enough. As if he's saying the scripture is more authoritative than the man who came back from the grave. The disciples in the Emmaus Road, the two disciples, they were so heavily laden and all their hopes are broken, and because they gave their 3.5 years and all their hopes to the man who claimed himself to be the Messiah. And there they were. But Jesus came to them in gentleness. And Jesus would use the Old Testament prophecies. Haven't you read? Haven't you read that the Christ must suffer before he will come to glory? And because Jesus used the scriptures, they believe. And it is because the certainty of the resurrection does not rest only in history, but most importantly, its certainty is it is resting on the Word of God from the Old Testament prophesied, fulfilled in the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two things that we can see here. The first one is the resurrection connects us to reality, if the Word of God really is the truth, then the resurrection connects us to the reality. And secondly, it connects us to eternity. Let's go to the first one. The resurrection connects us to the reality. Paul has enumerated many miracle proofs in our text, which is historical, and they are necessary to prove the reality of the resurrection. But the resurrection is part of the Word of God, and the Word of God is foundational to the Christian faith. And if the resurrection is part of the gospel, it is the linchpin of our Christian faith. Without the resurrection, our faith is in vain. It is fundamental. And here Paul is saying, and here's the point, that the resurrection as part of the gospel points us to the reality of the Christian experience. It tells us that our sin is real. It is not just a man-made thing that you can get away from. It tells us that the curse and suffering in this world is real. It tells us that God's judgment on the last day is real. Since the resurrection reverses the curse of sin, suffering, and its judgment, it tells us that this life that we are living is real. The reality of life, that God created everything good, that creation is true, and it was created very good, and man ruined it with his sin. Without the resurrection, we cannot say that creation is true. Sin is true. God is true. Afterlife is true. We are no better than Buddhists if there is no resurrection. The Buddhist believes that in reincarnation or afterlife concepts, they believe in that without any proofs. I have so many conversations with Buddhists, and they would say about reincarnation, but I would ask, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And they would make up stories, and I said, where's the evidence in history that people really saw Gautama Buddha reincarnated and came back to life, and he would claim that I am the Gautama Buddha because the reincarnation is true. They cannot answer that. But here's the Word of God. He reveals to us the truth, the reality of life in Christ and the afterlife in Christ through the resurrection. And there are saints in the church in Corinth that says that the resurrection is not real. Paul would rebuke them. The Christian faith serves no purpose. It is in vain, Paul would say, without Jesus' resurrection. Thus, it provides also no salvation if the resurrection is not real. Here we could say that Paul says that people who think themselves as Christians and does not believe on the resurrection, we have a faith that is so incoherent, and it means that we are rejecting the truth. And so the sin today in many churches there are many Christians who would affirm the doctrine of resurrection but does not really live in the reality of the resurrection life in Christ. The worst perception of a Christian is to think that the resurrection is a metaphor. The resurrection is not a metaphor. It is a reality. It is historical. Many would affirm the resurrection, but believes that sometimes they would think of the resurrection as just a new life, a new chapter in your life. Without it, Paul is saying we are most miserable of all the people in the planet worse than the Buddhist or other religion without the resurrection. It tells you if there is a resurrection, it tells us that our sadness is real. Your struggle with sin is real. Your pain caused by sin is real. But it tells you also that it is not ultimate. The grave, when we die, though we die, this body would be buried. But it is not ultimate because of the resurrection. That grave will be open one day because the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected for real. This body will be turned into a body but glorified without sickness or death or incapable of sinning anymore. Haven't you been burdened, wearied of our sin every day, of sinning, struggling with sin? But when the resurrection comes, on that day, there will be true rest. It is not a metaphor. It is not even a strategy on how to deal with your sadness, how to deal with death of your loved one. There's a story in Buddhist story that that the title is Wash Your Bowl. There was a new monk who entered the temple and he said, "Teacher, I have just entered this monastery. Please teach me." He was so excited. And the teacher said, "Have you eaten your rice porridge?" And then the student replied, "Yes, I have." And then the teacher said, "Then you had better wash your bowl." And the moral of the story is this: eating your porridge is a present reality. But after eating it, there is a new reality, which is an unwashed bowl, a dirty bowl. So the new reality would bring you to wash your bowl. Therefore, we should wash our bowl so that it will not affect the past, will not affect us in this new reality. So let go of the past and wash your bowls. It will enable you to live a happier lives and conquer your karma of our past lives. But we do not need a metaphor like this, brothers and sisters. We do not need a metaphor to get away with our sins. What a metaphor does is it gives you a sense of victory, but it's not real. It's not a make-believe. True Christianity is not a make-believe, but a reality because of the resurrection. We are challenged, brothers and sisters, that we believers should live in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ as well as ours with full assurance and hope. To think that resurrection is metaphorical, it is a rejection of Christianity itself. It is a rejection of the gospel itself. It is a rejection of God Himself. And sometimes, if we think it as a metaphor, it is a subtle way of rejecting God Himself, who sets what is true and what is not. We live in a world of gravity, isn't it? And this reality of gravity, when someone is up, it will fall. That's reality. But it doesn't affect when you wake up this morning, it didn't affect when you brush your teeth, when you decide to take a bath, when you decided to come here. It did not affect you, right? I hope that the reality of the resurrection will not be like that, that it doesn't affect our Christian lives. It does not affect our lives at all. Does it affect your marriage? Does it affect your living your life in holiness? Does it affect your response to sorrows and pains? Does it affect your service to God. Here, Apostle Paul said, it affected him. He even said, I have worked more than them, all the other apostles. But it is only by the grace of God, he said. Your labor is not in vain, Apostle Paul said, because of the resurrection. Does it affect your response to death? Have you thought of that when COVID was there and death is just lurking at the doors of our homes? Does it affect your love for one another as brothers and sisters, knowing that we will all be resurrected and we will continue our lives there in eternity with flesh and bones? There was a sculpture called For the Love of God. This sculpture is made of a human skull, and it was they put a cast there, and then they put 8,601 flawless diamonds. And the artist's name is Damien Hirst, and it was produced year 2007. And this sculpture has a platinum cast, and with 8,601 diamonds, and at the forehead, there was a pear-shaped pink diamond located on its forehead that it is known to be a skull star diamond. And it was so it's glittering, but it is still a skull. And the cost, 12 million pounds, not dollars, pounds. And when it was on bidding, they put it into bidding, the asking price was 50 million pounds. And here's the artist's words about the skull. He said, I hope this work gives people hope. It shows that we will not live forever, but gives us a feeling of victory over death. A feeling of victory? I have a friend who died just last year, and he was a gamer, professional gamer, at a very young age, in his 30s. And then it was posted in his Facebook, and a lot of his friends made a comment giving condolences, and here's one of the comments. Tol, saan ka man ngayon? Sana malaro mo lahat ng games na gusto mo dyan. It gives you a feeling of victory, but a false hope. It is not in touch with the reality. But the resurrection does not give us a feeling of victory over death, but brings us to the reality of life and gives us real victory that says death is not ultimate. That feeling of victory over death does not console or will not console your soul in your deathbed. The resurrection does. Therefore, to us who are in Christ, we can say, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And that is the reality of the Christian life. And to you, if you are not yet in Christ, you are still living in a false hope. I hope that today you will see the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as real and put it and trust the Lord Jesus Christ that He will be the one to give you the real victory in your life. Secondly, the resurrection doesn't only connect us to this reality of life, but it also connects us to eternity. Paul said that the gospel that he preached was one where the saints of Corinth are being saved. Verse 2. And the resurrection is part of the gospel of Apostle Paul. The death and the burial of Christ is part of the gospel of from death of Christ, but one that connects us to reality, to eternity, is the resurrection of Christ. If there is no resurrection, number one, you believe in vain. Whatever your faith now is in vain. That's in verse 2. Number 2, Paul's efforts, where he labors more than any other apostles when he said that, are in vain. That's in chapter 10, in verse 10. Number 3, the apostles' preaching is in vain. Verse 14, your faith is in vain. Verse 14, and your labor is in vain. Verse 58, everything will be in vain if there is no resurrection. Others think that our ultimate destination is to be disembodied spirit. No. To us, our ultimate destination is the new heavens and the new earth. That's why everything will not be in vain. The believer's ultimate destination is to have the real resurrected body, that we can enjoy life forever with God in the new heavens and the new earth that He has prepared for those who are in Christ Jesus. And here's the point, that the resurrection as part of the gospel instructs us that right now counts forever. Today counts in eternity. Today matters in eternity. Because the resurrection of Christ, we know that our faith is not in vain. Our preaching will not be in vain. This mission to Thailand will not be in vain. Our labor will not be in vain. The resurrection will shape the way we live our lives in the view of eternity. Knowing that today counts in eternity, it will give you a longing to live a life of holiness, because our blessedness in eternity depends on how we live right now. It will shape our preaching and teaching in the church and in evangelism. If we think that the resurrection is just a myth, we will reduce our preaching and teaching to just therapy or psychology. You will say like this, how can the resurrection help you overcome your hurdles? Or you will hear people who put this resurrection into just a myth or metaphor, they would say, and how can you walk out of your tomb? The tomb are the negative things in your life. Walk out from that. Your addiction is the negative, is your tomb. Walk out from that, because there is resurrection. Those are just putting the reality of the resurrection into a myth. But the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 11 with Martha, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Here's the question for all of us, not just for Martha. Jesus said, do you believe this? Do you really believe this? Ask your heart. Ask yourself right now. This is the voice, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? If you believe that, you will believe what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, because of the resurrection. He said, behold, I am coming back quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. If you believe this, you will believe what Jesus said in Matthew 6:19 and following. He said, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves nor do not break in, but lay up and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We will embrace this because we know that the resurrection connects us in eternity, but it also teaches us that right now counts forever. Every time the gospel is preached, when we gather together, we are reminded that God is faithful. And this is the resurrection. When we gather together, we are celebrating the truth of the resurrection of Christ. There was a story in the past during the early Christians when they are being persecuted. They will run to the catacombs, to the caves, and there they would worship Christ. And the first thing that the minister would say, Christ is risen. And the congregation would respond, Christ is risen indeed. Because it is the resurrection that keeps us from moving and persevering despite of the persecution. But to us, the question is, do you believe this? This is also what Apostle Paul is saying. If Christ did not rise, we will remain dead. Our faith will be futile. We are still in our sin. If Christ is risen, then we will not remain dead, but live our life with God in eternity, with bodily existence. Our faith will become sight, and we will physically see our Savior physically. We'll be fully holy and we'll never experience a single burden of sin. We are not like Buddhists who believes that today matters so that in the next life you will be reincarnated, but you will be brought back again to this fallen world and to sin again and die again. And then we will be reincarnated and then we'll be brought back again to this sinful world. No! There was a story wherein the boy was in the second floor and he was looking at the in his window, and his mom is calling him, "My son, come on, let's have a dinner. Let's have a dinner." It was already night, and he cannot come. And then after a few minutes, "What are you doing?" "Hey, look, mom," he said, "and look at that torch lighter." And as he light the torches on the streets, and the boy said, "Look, mom, it's great. That man is punching holes in the darkness." This is what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he resurrected. He punched a hole in the darkness of death so that we'll be connected to eternity in light forever. We do not need enlightenment, just Buddha has said. We will be children of light because our Savior is the very light of this world. The resurrection tells us that we have a destiny in the future. It is not reincarnation back to the fallen world. The resurrection tells us that YOLO is not true. You only live once, YOLO. It tells us that we live now and to eternity, not nirvana. It instructs us to endure life because it is worth it. It is worth it. Whatever we suffer here on earth for the sake of the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is nothing to be compared to the bliss and joy and blessed realities that awaits us in glory. It instructs us that the church should never negotiate the eternal dimensions of the believers' lives. No negotiation with darkness at all. Satan would always offer you riches of this world, thousands of sexual pleasures and shimmering glories of success of life in this world. But we should not sell our birthright that we have with our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all blessed by Him because we're all in Christ. All spiritual blessings is in Christ, and whatever we have in Christ has, we have because we are co-heirs of Christ. There is a man, a missionary. His name is Titi Studd. And He was successful in his mission in China and India. And he went back to his home, and a lot of churches gave him the trophies, and that's a success, and a lot more. But he came back to his home because he got a stroke. But after recovering, he decided, he said, I want to go back to missions, and I want to go to Sudan, Africa, where many missionaries don't dare to go. And because of that, those people who gave him those trophies criticized him and said, why do you have to go there when you have this? And he answered his critics, how could I spend the best years of my life in living for the honors of this world when thousands of souls are perishing every day? Maybe that was the time that he got his pen and wrote these words. As we all know this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. But he did not finish that. There's another stanza. He said, and when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. This is the man who knows that the resurrection is real, because he said, it is worth it to burn my life for the sake of my Savior, because it is worth it. And there's an advertisement around 6 years ago. It says, saan naabot ang 20 pesos mo, right? At, but to us, the question is, saan aabot ang ebanghelyo mo? And there's another stanza that City Stud wrote. Maybe this is a good answer. Saan naabot ang ebanghelyo natin? He said, some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Saan naabot ang ebanghelyo natin? Sana mapaabot natin doon hanggang doon sa gilid ng pinto ng Hades at Impierno. So that before they can go there, they will hear that there is hope, because our Christ, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, has resurrected, conquered death. Maybe that is your neighbor. Maybe that is your relative. Tell them of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is part, the resurrection is the Word of God, it is part, and therefore it is the truth. Go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank you because the certainty of the resurrection does not just rest in history, but more so because it is part of the Word of God. So, Father, help us to see ourselves, to live our lives in connection to the resurrection, so that we will see the reality. And also help us, O God, that we can live our lives in view of eternity because of the resurrection. It connects us to that eternity where you have prepared for us. Forgive us, O God, if we have sinned and made this resurrection just a metaphor, a renewal, or a new life. But thank you, O God, because you have used this word resurrection, which means it requires a death, and then we will live again, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. All these things we ask in Christ's precious name.